The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. Happy Wednesday, and we move ahead. Looking at the world, we can almost see a reflection of what's going on in this country. It's extrapolated quite a bit because of the diversity of cultures, countries, etc., and political alliances, but it's not good out there anywhere you look. And I think many Americans, I hate to say this, actually are expecting a nuclear conflict. And they don't seem to think it's going to bother them much, which nothing could be further from the truth. Today, Vladimir Putin lowered the threshold of nuclear weapons use in a very dramatic warning aimed at NATO. No joke. He said the doctrine had been effectively revised in light of the, quote, emergence of new sources of military threats and risks for Russia and its allies. Now, these words should be taken seriously. Everybody knows about the red lines that have been stomped on and walked across. But I think Russia is getting to the point now where they're not going to take too much more. Back home, it's countdown to the so-called election, selection, however you'd like to view it. I don't know exactly how many days are left, but it's about 6 weeks. And many are saying, and I think some of the pundits are correct, that no matter what happens, America will never be the same. It already isn't the same. If they, the elite that really run the show, install the camel and waltz, we have communism, formally, fully. It's a fact. That's what we've got. If Trump gets in, it looks like we'll have a little more time. It'll be a slower slide. Trump is clearly changed his tune since Butler, Pennsylvania. He is now formally endorsing Israel at every opportunity and backing them. Iran is the great enemy and so forth and so on. I think you can all see, if you stand back, the mechanism that's involved with running the big show. And it's a big show. Not good. So here we have... Well, let's find out. William, welcome back. How many days until November 5th? You should know this.
It's around 40, but, well, we want to thank everybody that's donated and volunteered and worked so hard to try to get the non-citizens out of the elections. That mission has failed on the national level. It's time to retreat. They've left D.C. without passing the SAVE Act, which was our last chance.
Well, he pulled it out of the CR.
Yeah, 14 Republicans voted against it on the first vote, and so he went.
That's why he dropped it.
Yeah, so that the Democrats could pass it. And so the Democrats passed the bill, Chuck Schumer.
It funds, so everybody knows, the continuing resolution passed will now give Biden, I guess, a signature, which will fund the nation again in deficit spending until the end of the year. It's a 90-day fix. That's all it is.
Yeah, both Biden and Schumer have come out in numerous articles reporting how happy they are with Mike Johnson's decision to remove the SAVE Act. Of the 14 Republicans that voted against the CR with the SAVE Act, none of them were opposing the SAVE Act. Most of them voted for the SAVE Act when it passed the House, but said that it was a chance for them to, I guess, cast some type of meaningless protest vote against government spending. But in doing so, they gave up our last, what I believe to be our last chance for any type of national reprieve. See, the SAVE Act had a 30-day counter in it by which states had to take action, but would almost immediately open up the floodgates by requiring federal agencies to allow states to run their voter files against the federal databases needed to screen out non-citizen voters. This would mean that most people out there who are registered to vote would never know anything changed. They wouldn't have to provide any documentation or anything. Their registration would just be run against the databases and cleared. If there was some type of snag, they might need to get an affidavit or a birth certificate or something together, but down the line, but that's not going to happen now. So millions upon millions of non-citizens currently poised to elect the Democrats to permanent totalitarian rule in the United States have no major, the last possible way of holding back significant numbers of them perished with the SAVE Act perishing and them leaving D.C. That's why Biden's happy. That's why Schumer's happy. No. That's why Harris and them are happy. You know, we'll still try to keep removing some on the state level. I think the most we could possibly hope for, unless something really breaks, is maybe 50 to 100,000 out of the millions. But
that's it?
William,
my question, if I may, are any of the states standing tall about getting rid of these invader voters? Any individual states?
We've removed over 17,000 in four states, but it's Alabama, Texas, Alabama, Ohio, Virginia, and and who was it? Someone else. But it's not the swing states. It's not North Carolina. It's not Arizona. It's not Pennsylvania. It's not Michigan. It's not the states that are going to decide the presidency.
And the
Democrats and the Soros NGOs and the cartels that are responsible for this plot to overthrow the American Republic using illegal invaders, they know exactly which states and precincts and districts that their votes are needed the most in. So they are spreading those very systematically. Trump only won the first election by about 60,000 votes spread through three or four states. So the people behind this invasion know exactly where to put those non-citizen voters. So we're looking at a possibility of Kamala Harris being elected, Democrats taking control of the House, possibly a Republican Senate, but that won't save us because it'll be the rhinos in charge. So a Republican Senate will really not do much to save us in that scenario. They'll be quick to put the next 10 million illegals on top. Basically, it will mean if that's what happens in 40 days, it will mean there will be no peaceful voting your way out of this situation, which means my job is through. So, but we're going to fight until the election actually occurs. We'll try to remove every non-citizen we could. We want to thank everybody that fought really hard to get something like the SAVE Act manifest, to get it passed in the House, to get it into the CR. We're just really sorry that at the last minute, 14 members of
Johnson,
the Congress.
Can we look at Johnson, though, as the linchpin of betrayal here? Or does he get to escape?
We can all huddle in the darkness afterwards and say, oh, darn that Johnson and those 14 Republicans. Darn it. If they had just helped to get those non-citizens out, Kamala and the Democrats wouldn't have swept the nation and taken full control and started cracking down on guns, speech, and businesses.
William, hold on. I watch the news like you do, and like many of you out there right now, watch, you scan, you study, and I see a lot of stories about this whole camel thing is essentially really a joke. She's way behind in the alleged polls, and yet some polls show her even or ahead. We know how that game works. But what is the truth of it here? Is Harris actually in commanding lead in terms of polls and the rank and file? Suspend for a moment the invader vote. Just for a moment. I know that's not practical, but just for a moment. What is really going on here? Does Harris really...
Her poll numbers have weakened, and if you look at the polls that are reporting her ahead, they're the ones that lied about Hillary being ahead and things like that. And the more honest polls show that Trump is doing surprisingly well in some swing states and the popular vote. But, again, that's not enough to counter the invasion vote. And the people who are responsible for bringing the invasion vote here, they know what they need to do. They know the numbers they need to get. You can bet they're going to be very scientifically and effectively on top of it.
They can create the rest.
We will continue to try to remove every non-citizen voter by Election Day that we can, as we have been in the states, in the hopes that maybe God intervenes at the last moment. That's always possible, and maybe we'll be ready to assist with that if the move presents itself. Maybe, possibly, Trump's campaign, it's called Swamp the Vote, where they know that the Dems are going to cheat in different ways, but they're saying, you know, hey, at this point, if enough people realize they're going to cheat and either don't vote Democrat or vote Republican to counter the cheating, it could possibly overwhelm. Because the only thing, here's the thing. We didn't just lose on the SAVE Act, the primary objective, which would have helped us remove large numbers of non-citizens from the 2024 elections. The secondary objective was whether we got it passed into law or not was to make the Democrats fight us in the Senate, fight us through the Biden administration. And for every moment, for every minute, hour, day, week, that we can make the national focus that the government is shutting down over the SAVE Act, we would have been winning with 63% of all likely voters. Rasmussen Reports just released some fresh data, and Rasmussen Reports is one of the most accurate polling firms.
They're one of the real ones out there. Yeah.
They poll more than others. They are more accurate. Yeah. They're right on. And their latest polling shows that 73% of Republicans versus 22 against support shutting down the government just to reduce spending. Like those 14 members of Congress said they wanted to reduce spending.
That's nice to hear. Logical.
Well, good. 73%, 56% of independents versus 30 agree. But the real meat is that 63% of all likely voters in America support shutting down the government to pass new laws to stop non-citizens voting. 61% of independents agree. Okay, so that's I don't have the Republican number, and I should have it, but that's 63% of all, 61% of independents. We can assume that Republican number is like 70, 80, 90%. But get this. Right. This is mind-blowing. 47% of Democrats agree. 47% of socialist Democrats support shutting the government down to pass new laws to stop non-citizens. It was the biggest winning issue that we had, and it's now it has left the roots. We have failed to pass the SAVE Act. We have lost the opportunity
to fight
the Democrats.
Let's not forget that Johnson was the guy who finally pulled the plug on it. He had to get rid of it. What do we have? We have 90 days of CR will extend for 90 days. That means we can run up another, one-third of $1 trillion in debt in the last quarter of the year?
Yeah, but none of that matters. If the Democrats take control with the invasion votes, none of that matters. I mean, whatever is an important issue to anybody out there listening, whether it was somehow restraining government spending, that gets, you know, taken away
from
you
forever. No one's talking about it. They just accept it.
Well, in 40 days, if the Democrats win with invasion votes, no one's going to ever talk about it again. It's over. There's nothing that's ever going to stop them
from doing
that. We go
communist. There's no question.
Yes. No coming back. And so whatever your pet peeve was, or wow, it should have been better than this, should have been better than that, or, you know, whatever your pet peeve was, and it only took enough 14 members of the Republican caucus voting against it to cost us that. So now it's retreat time. It's time for us to we have to the money we spent and the time and the focus and the energy we spent there has been taken from us by the very powerful, influential groups that are very good at lying and very good at winning and very, very good at divide and conquer strategies. They have won that battle. They probably regret that they had to fight it at all, and it was quite an accomplishment for us to have gotten the American public into the righteous uproar that they are, to where the Trump campaign...
If I might make another comment, the Republicans who betrayed us and stabbed us in the back, remember that virtually every Republican in the House of Representatives has an AIPAC babysitter, literally, that watches over them, takes them to lunch, keeps pushing them to vote pro-Israeli on every election issue, on every bill. It doesn't matter. They have babysitters for everybody in the House. Especially the Republicans. We don't know how the Democrats work. This comes from Representative Massey. He explained it very clearly to Tucker Carlson. Babysitters. In other words, watch it. Here's a group of people, Democrat, Republican, in the House of Representatives, supposedly assembled there to represent William, mine, and all of you who live in the U.S., your general desires. We're supposed to have representation. Now, I would just ask you, when you have a joint session of Congress, the House and the Senate, and somebody comes to speak who has killed over 200,000 people in Gaza with American bombs, American planes, and that person gives a 53-minute address and gets 58 standing ovations from our representative, our congressmen and senators, what the hell is that about? That's not America. Those people don't represent me. Not in a million years would I vote for that. I don't support
and you're sort of touching on the third problem here. I mean, the first is the SAVE Act won't remove non-citizen voters. The second is we lost the chance to fight the Democrats on an issue that we win with 2 out of 3 likely voters. The third is now that this has happened and Mike Johnson caved and Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden are smiling because the Republican leadership has handed the Democrats everything they wanted and more.
Yes.
It weakens the GOP, the Republican. Right now, 40 days before an election, there is dismay and dissent and internecine conflict inside the Republican
ranks. I bet there is.
Instead of being unified and energized and organized and facing forward, we are, God, we've been completely sold out by our leaders.
Betrayed.
And we're in... Yes,
betrayed.
And so the great non-citizen steamroller, picture it as a steamroller because it is inching forward as people run in panic and say, oh, my God, Johnson sold us out. Mitch McConnell's no use whatsoever, you know. And the only thing that besides an intervention of God or us possibly getting some type of lawsuit or political movement in one of the swing states before Election
Day. It's a Hail Mary situation, William.
We are now retreating. We've gone from an offensive move that could have worked out really well for us. We've been beaten. We've lost an important one. And we lost an important one at a very bad time. And so, yes, we're going to try to retrench. We're going to send everybody to the ground. We're going to send everybody to your local races. We're going to send everybody to your local GOP offices. This is where you need to get to, because that way, if this continues on the trajectory that we're unfortunately placed upon at this time, you'll have someone to huddle with in the darkness as the steamroller rolls over you and everybody else. Because here it comes. And you know, the Haitians are still being deployed. Towns in North Carolina, towns in Alabama, new towns are being set up. And here come the Haitians giving TPS and debit cards with $30,000 on it
to have new
cars.
You bet.
They're riding past poor Americans stretched by inflations in their new Lexuses and brand new expensive clothing. And it's all coming for everybody out there. So, you know.
Remember, it's all intentional, friends. It's all by the plan. None of this is happening accidentally. There's no coincidence.
The only thing we've got left is to go out there and appeal to people, to suggest to people, to beg people to not vote Democrat. If you don't like Kamala Harris, you don't like illegal immigration, if you're part of the 63% of likely voters that wanted to see something happen, we can't promise you that all the Republicans are... The Republicans clearly just lost the ability to seize that brass ring and say, vote for us as a party because we're the ones that'll do something about that. Mike Johnson made sure he stuck them and I have been real good on that one with his 14 little, you know, guys that were like, oh, I don't want to spend any money, and I gave up the last chance we had to save the country. You know,
Don't forget about the APAC angle. Friends, don't. Please, let me ask this, Jeff.
If Democrats take full control of the executive branch and the Congress permanently for the next 100-plus years, forevermore,
as far as I can see,
are they going to do anything about APAC's lobbyists?
Never.
Okay.
Never.
Are they going to do anything that you would like at all?
Never.
Are they going to do anything that the people listening to this program for many years are going to be happy with?
We no longer have a nation. We don't have a viable government.
We got 40 days, and in 40 days, you know, but at this point, AliPAC is sounding the retreat notice because there's nothing left to do in D.C. They left D.C. to get back to their home districts before Hurricane Helene sweeps up through the Gulf Coast. So it's done. The CR has passed the Senate. It's on Joe Biden's desk. If it hasn't been signed yet, and it's all...
Oh, it will be.
Joe Biden,
you watch,
there'll
be another one-third of $1 trillion they'll spend.
He's going to smile. All that money and no save act, and you know, and they're not going to have to deal... In their book right now, they're going to be like, it doesn't matter that Kamala stinks. It doesn't matter that she's stupid. It doesn't matter she's a witch. It doesn't matter she's unqualified. None of that matters because our certain base is going to vote for us. And even with massive unpopularity, we have millions of people who will vote how we tell them to, or they will be deported. They will either do what we tell them to, or they will be deported. And then what happens after that? You know, they get badges and guns and jobs and prisons and jails and courthouses and schools and DHS and family services and tax collectors and IRS agents.
Yeah.
Just picture your Haitian IRS agent with a gun and a badge and a title.
And a 65-word IQ.
They're going to put them in the Department of Agriculture. Anything that regulates anything you might be doing, whether it's, you know, running a daycare or running a country store or drop shipping or, you know, child care, whatever it is that you do, the whole lawfare, government, bureaucratic thing, it's just going to roll. But we got 40 days left to try to beg the country to do the last thing that could possibly save anything, which is just vote red or don't vote at all. And whether they listen or understand that or whether that works or not, well, we have to try because, you know, this is the last opportunity
this
we have to do
anything.
This is the last
hurrah. That's what it is. All right. Hold on just a minute. And we will continue with William Gein and the AliPAC report for tonight, 40 days. That could be it, and this may be the last Christmas. No joke. Back in a minute. Okay, here we are. Just scanning the headlines here. Oh, before I do this, don't underestimate Representative Massey's remarks about AIPAC and babysitters for every Republican in the House. Don't underestimate that. It's huge. And remember the 58 standing ovations. No, that doesn't represent me. Shouldn't represent this country. Non-entanglement of foreign issues that Washington talked about so often. Nobody remembers that. Here, Election 2024 live updates. Trump returns to North Carolina. Did you notice him returning, William? He's there.
Well, the big story out of North Carolina is our embattled Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, who is being attacked by CNN, and they are making a claim that I think lacks plausibility.
What are they charging him with?
They claim that 12 years ago he registered with a porn site called NudeAfrica.com or AfricanNude.com, NudeAfrica.com, and the beginning of the story that they weave, it has some plausibility because when you say that maybe 10 or 15 years ago somebody was messing around an old porn site, that's the type of thing that a lot of Americans hear. It's like, oh, yes, perhaps. But they're alleging that Mark Robinson, our current candidate, Republican candidate for governor, created an account and used his real name on a porn site, which no one ever did, his publicly known email on the site, his cross-platform nickname, used comments similar to the type of language he's used on the campaign trail, and, oh yeah, proclaimed himself to be a, quote, black Nazi who likes tranny sex and had some racial pejorative names to say about Martin Luther King. Now, CNN has run this story up the flagpole and shown screenshots for proof, but none of the screenshots I've seen have any time signatures or links. I went looking for the stuff. Apparently, you couldn't find it. Apparently, nobody brought this up when Mark Robinson became the first black lieutenant governor in the history of North Carolina. No one brought this up when he won the primary several months ago, 65%. Just 40-something days before the general election, suddenly CNN and the Democrat Mark Stein, who've been trying to tell people that Robinson is a black racist and black Nazi, suddenly have proof from some ancient website where he once signed up and said, hey, I'm Mark Robinson. I'm married and live in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I'm a black Nazi, which I just don't, I don't believe that, you know, it's not plausible, but, you know, I've seen this before. I've seen Soros groups do this. I've been the victim of this type of attack. This isn't the first time I've seen leftist Soros-connected groups, and I think there's a strong chance that our attorney, Democrat, liberal Democrat attorney, now candidate for governor, Josh Stein, is probably a Soros guy, you know, being all in that law.
Come on, William, I'm not speaking for you. Mark Stein is another Jewish candidate, a Democrat, a liberal, probably with communist, strong communist, Marxist identification in his own mind and his geopolitical world, that it's always the same people.
Well,
and this thing
by
CNN is no coincidence. I would guess it's quite intentional.
Well, it is, like but here's the big rub that everybody around the country should be interested in. It remains to be seen if it's going to work or not. Mark Robinson has vowed to stay in the race, which I understand, but there's no switching hitters on a governor's race 40 days before. And even if he did leave the race, even if somebody else popped up and said, I'm running instead of Mark, the Democrats are going to continue with exactly what they're doing right now, which is trying to tie Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and every other Republican they can to Mark Robinson and sink them all to the bottom of a river. Now, this is swing state North Carolina. North Carolina, which can easily decide the outcome of the presidential race. There's a chance that Mark Robinson will survive this, turn things around. He's apparently hired a law firm that he says is investigating this, and he's still got a bunch of people showing up at his stump speeches, and he's promising to fight this all the way, which I agree with, because, you know, that's what Trump had to do. I mean, when they threw mud at him, he didn't run away and leave them the battlefield.
Let me ask you this. Is Mark Robinson, is he a good man for North Carolina? Obviously,
well,
he's
good on the issues, but see, here's the thing, okay? If this very sophisticated smear campaign works and drops his numbers, not only will he lose, but it could cost Trump the presidency, it could cost Republicans control of
the
U.S. House.
That one smear from CNN could do all that.
Yeah. Repeated a million times with millions of dollars, Because, I mean, you know, I don't think anybody in their right mind, much less a black man, would ever say, hey, I'm a black Nazi who likes trannies and thinks racist things MLK.
Please. It's, you know, all these things are so easily created. The world is digital now, friends. Nothing is what it seems anymore. This is all easily done.
I think it's overtly contrived because the claims, you know, hey, I'm a black Nazi. Oh, isn't that convenient? Jewish people alienated. Oh, I think trannies are hot. Oh, LGBTQ people alienated. Oh, MLK was a bleep. Now I've alienated black people because they're really worried about black people voting for Republicans, especially there's an appeal on the ballot for black Democrats to vote for the possible first black governor in the history of the state of North Carolina, but you don't want to vote for him because he said Martin Luther King was a bleep.
Wow.
So it's very sophisticated. It's very powerful. It's happening here, and it's going down.
It may not be
now.
The only one. There may be other things in swing states pop up, too. We don't know. And here's the big deal that bothers me. The mainstream media, the MSM, is now going back to covering Trump rallies. And whoever wrote the initial story on this pointed out, correctly so, that maybe they're expecting another assassination attempt and they want their cameras rolling. Think about it. I think that was the plan of Butler. They had a lot of people there that didn't really need to go to Butler. They were there, media people. They had their HD cameras right on his head, waiting for it to blow up, and it didn't. And I think this is the kind of mentality that we're dealing with now. He's not slowing down on his campaigns either, his rallies.
One thing I'm looking forward to is next Tuesday, October 1st, 8 p.m. Eastern, which is, we got to translate that for you folks on the left coast, but at this time, there's a debate scheduled between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, and of course, CBS is the host, and CBS is going to rig it and bias it as much as possible.
Right.
But I don't think
they got a lot of dirt to cover up with Walz. Let's see how they do.
Well, listen, they better figure out a way to turn off the lights and the microphone on J.D. Vance, because I think J.D. Vance is going to mop up the floor with Tim Walz's butt.
He's gotten to be very, very good.
He is going to chew him up with a smile. J.D. has got his act together. He is disciplined. He is on message. He's a different style than Trump. And Tim Walz is not a dummy. But my money's on J.D. Vance, and I would encourage everybody to watch, because one thing that could save us would be if the spread between Trump and Kamala were to get bigger. Right now, I believe that the polls showing Trump actually leading a couple of points on the popular vote, which a Republican almost never does, is a big, big indicator. And it's coming from the polls that have been the most accurate in the past. But he shouldn't. No Republican is usually carrying the popular vote. Only one Republican has won the popular vote since 1988, and it was G.W. Bush, because he was riding high off 9/11, 90% approval ratings. So, every other Republican that's ever run has lost the popular vote. They win in the Electoral College ever since Reagan's amnesty.
What's the Electoral College projection right now?
Some of the ones I've seen have got Trump clearing 300 in some of the projections. So if that can get, and one of the things that, and I think of the different things that could propel Trump further up the ladder, it could be another failed assassination attempt. It could be, unfortunately, a successful assassination attempt that puts J.D. into the cockpit. It could be a very big win in a debate, possibly J.D. over Walz. It could be a international incident. It could be, they still may try to put Kamala into the White House before the election, just to, dare Trump to try to remove the first.
I've been suggesting exactly that. Chaos from now on through the end of the year. I think it's quite probable. I think you're raising some very real issue possibilities here.
I want everybody out there to go to the ground. The fight in D.C. is over. Find your local congressional candidates, U.S. Senate candidates, State House, State Senate, County Commissioners.
County Sheriff, please. Remember that. County Sheriff.
If a sheriff's running, a lot of states stagger those in non-big years. Find your local Republican parties. Find your state Republican party. If you go one place, you try to contact one place, and they don't have their act together, find somebody else. Find local patriot groups. Find local Trump groups. Trump has this thing. It's called Trump Force 47. And Trump Force 47 is equipping people with apps that help you identify undecided and Republican voters that need to be brought out. One of the things that I do see that's happening different this year is there's some early voting that's already cranking up where Trump is looking stronger than before, because one of the mistakes the Republicans made in 2020 was counting on all the Election Day vote while the Democrats were out there working on the early vote. Well, it's different this year. The Republicans are working on the early vote. They want you to vote early. They want you to vote by mail, because here's what they're doing. These campaigns are going to be running around working on Republican voter turnout. Now, Democrats usually benefit from this more because they have more transportable voters. They got to go get slacker students. They got to get people from lower socioeconomic groups and cities and stuff like that to get on the vans and go cast their ballots. That's what they do. Republicans are not as transportable, but by voting earlier, you take your name out of the mix, and that means that the campaign in your state, run by Charlie Kirk's group, Turning Point USA, they've got some get-out-the-vote stuff going that you work with, or Trump Force 47. I'll try to come to next week's show with a longer list of different types of auxiliaries and groups and organizations that are functioning out there that have worked on getting the vote out, getting the signs out, making the phone, doing things. You know, I always vote. It's not enough to always vote. You've got to get more skin in the game. You need to be donating to people. You need to be putting signs out. You need to be making phone calls. You need to be going to events. You need to be going to watch parties. You need to be calling people up and say, what can I do? What do you need from me? What can I do for the next 40 days to have some type of impact on what is going to happen? And connect with those people. Because even if we lose, a lot of those people out there that are fighting to save this country right now are the people that you want to know from your area and your location if the lights go out on all of us, you know, along the way. So,
you know, people don't know, William, voting began 6 days ago.
I'd heard that there were some early
Virginia,
votes coming in.
Virginia, Minnesota, yeah. And South Dakota. Yes. September 20th, they were voting in Virginia. Virginia, Minnesota, South Dakota. So this is kind of crazy.
Well, it started, you know. I get up every day, and this is I do this from early morning till late at night, and we don't stop. We don't stop until Thanksgiving.
Yes.
The week before Thanksgiving.
This is going to be a...
We don't start grilling the barbecue and the tofurkies until, you know, every vote is counted. Smoke settles.
I hear you. This is really astonishing to see happen. We allowed it, though. 2020, we allowed that fraud, that outrageous theft to stand. We let those people move into the White House, the camel and the brain-dead Biden, crook criminals. Sickening. We let that happen. Every court, what bothers me, let me repeat, I said this the other night, what really bothers me is that every effort by Trump and Trump-oriented attorneys who went to court in the various states where the most outrageous things are going on, every court quashed or threw out those lawsuits. They went nowhere. Every one of them. That suggests to me that there are an awful lot of communists in an awful lot of key positions in jurisprudence in these formerly United States. That was not good news. Everyone thrown out. Shouldn't have happened that way.
And that really hurt the cause of those of us fighting for cleaner elections.
Yes,
that was so mishandled.
Of course it did.
And it suggested to me that Trump should have taken action to clean up the elections before he lost one, like he told us he was going to do. That would have been best if he had been working on that since day one, instead of not working on that until after they tell him that the numbers say that he lost.
Yep.
So, you know, hopefully he's learned that lesson, and hopefully if he, through the grace of God, gets back into office, something will be different this time. That's about the only type of hope I think we can really have for that.
So whether or not the invader vote throws it to the communists, They're gonna rig it anyhow. Isn't that the way it kind of looks to you? After what they did in 2020, they proved they can do anything.
Yeah, but there's a chance that if enough people know and believe that, that they can overwhelm the system like they did in 2016. It's going to be a lot. It'll take a lot more to overwhelm the system in 2024 than it did in 2016, because in 2016, the censorship and the skullduggery and the non-citizen voters and all the things they put in place to tilt that to Hillary, including the fake polls and she's up 9 2 weeks before, all of that combined barely by a squeaker was overwhelmed by people sharing information hand to hand like we asked them to, emails, tweets, you know, one to one, overcoming the algo. But by 2020, they said, you know what, we're going to change, we're going to adjust the machinery so that never happens again. And it did. Now, at this particular point, there are so many things that are going deep wrong. Now, but not according to the news. Just a couple of months before the Democrats hope he will reelect them to the White House, gas prices are down, inflation is down, Zelensky's talking about possible peace. What else is it?
it's all
overdose, overdose deaths are falling. Violent crime rates are falling. Employment, unemployment is falling. You know, everything is rainbow springing out of puppies' butts because they want you to reelect this political status quo that has you know. You know, the stock market is in new territory. You know, you've seen it. Everything's good, Jeff. It's just us crying old white men that are unhappy because we don't run things anymore. That's only, we're just tears in our beer because people of color are taking
tears
over.
Tears in our beer. Coming
tears
out of puppies' butts. Boy, you got a lot of those interesting little statements to throw around. Yes.
We're just sour grapes. Because, you know, the white man don't get to run things anymore. Their words, not mine. So that's all we are about, because if you can tell from the stock market to gas prices to inflation to everything is better, recently better.
Well, I heard that pork shoulder prices were down.
I'll tell you what's not down is eggs. Eggs are through the roof. Gas is down. The stock market is up.
$13 a dozen here for organic eggs that I buy.
The other day, I'll tell the story as we wrap up because it's a personal one, but it's a good one. The other day, I went to a campaign event, and at this the venue it was at, it was some burger place that also served hot dogs. So I thought I would buy a couple of hot dogs just to take with me. And for the low, low price of only $9.99, I got two hot dogs and some tater tots. Yeah, two tater tots. Yes. I paid $5 a hot dog. But I got some tater tots with it, right? Now,
you know how many businesses that are still around now will not be around much longer. I'd say 75% of them. They can't operate like this.
Let me flash
people
back.
Don't have the disposable money. They can't patronize them.
Go ahead. Let me flash back to late 89 or early 1990.
Right.
And I'm in terrible poverty. I have less than like $10 to my name. I got rejected for food stamps because I was a white kid, and I was driving pizzas, and my car broke, and it was an expensive repair, and I did not have the money to repair the car, so I was an unemployed pizza delivery driver. And my guitarist worked at a bagel shop, and he would bring me and the drummer clean plastic trash bags.
Come on, I'm going to start crying here. I can't take it. Give me a break.
But our one meal a day, the local pantry was selling hot dogs for $4, and the other deal was two jungle juices for 25 cents. So me and my drummer would go over there once a day. And we get four hot dogs, but you got to picture this. The hot dogs are in these, like, cradling styrofoam containers, right? So we would go over there and stack so many toppings on these dogs. I mean, the onions, the chili, the slaw, the ketchup, the pickle, the relish, everything they had. Each hot dog ended up weighing, like, over a pound. And we would get four hot dogs and two jungle juices for $1.25. We had to load it up, too, because the cat we had to survive. The cat got half a dog for her meal, and we would live off of these. We call them turbo dogs, which I think we got the word turbo dogs from a movie called Heathers with Christian Slater in it. And we would get four turbo dogs, two jungle juices, make sure the cat got a half one. I went from paying for four hot dogs for a dollar in late 1989 to I paid $5 a hot dog yesterday.
Wow. So you were living off pickle relish, chopped onions, and other condiments that you could ladle on the dogs.
Yes.
That's funny.
By the time I got up to the register with my four hot dogs, the whole bag made a big thunk because it was all... And the dude knew exactly what we were doing because, I mean, he didn't care. He just worked at the pantry. But we were there every day to get our four hot dogs and two Jumbo Juices.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. That's fine.
Well, you know what? We lived off of that. And you know what? Those dogs were good. I bet you those Turbo dogs were a heck of a lot better than that $5, you know, dog I paid for the other day.
I bet they were. I bet the ingredients were better, too. You know what's inside of hot dogs? You don't want to know. Especially
it's
not
the dogs. It's all the sweeteners and stuff, but yeah.
Oh, some horrible stuff in there. Well, that's quite a little story.
Well,
thank you for sharing that.
I tell you, living in poverty teaches a lot of things about the world.
When is it? It does.
And listen, you know, it was so interesting that as a young man, I was like, oh, we need to have food stamps. Food stamps are important. Anybody gets down there luck in this country, we want to have some food assistance there. We don't want anybody starving in America. What kind of heartless people would think that? What do you mean I can come in and apply, but I might as well not? I got like $5 between the change in the car and the couch and the $2 in my checking account. I mean, I said I can go spend the $5. And what do you mean that it's, oh, the program's not made for me? What do you mean by that? And the guy finally just told me on the phone. He's like, you're a young, white, college-age male. This program's not for you.
When I was in college, I was living hand to mouth, and I got down to my last, I think it was $2, and I had two. And I went to the store and bought $2 worth of chicken wings. This was my last meal, and I came home and cooked the chicken wings on the grill outside, gave half of them to the cats, and I had the other half. And I didn't know where the hell the next meal was coming from.
So thank God you weren't Haitian.
No. I would have had $35,000 on an EBT card. God, that woman was just duly outraged in that video. I hope most all of you got a chance to see it. Lives right there in Springfield, and she's a checker at the grocery store. And she has a way to see these EBT cards and what the balance is apparently on them shows up on the screen. And she was enraged, livid, that some of these were over $30,000 just on the EBT card. So, well said. Keep at it, William. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks much.
Jeff.
Okay, good night. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Hold on. And I'm going to rerun one of our most recent Jeff and Erica programs for the hour. Very important. She's getting closer to coming back soon. As soon as she gets these things worked out, you know, life sometimes has issues and you have to deal with them. So she's wanting to come back soon, and we hope that will happen. But in the meantime, enjoy the program and listen to the information. It's stuff you won't find on the MSM. Back in just a few with that, and then another hour on the other side. Stay with us.